The reading of God's Word from Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. When Jesus heard what had happened to John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place, and hearing of this, the crowds followed Jesus on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." But Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And Jesus directed the people to sit down on the grass. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. He gave thanks. He broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. The people all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over, and the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Some years ago, I came across an article about a disaster, a potential disaster that was averted at a large Midwestern hospital. As it turns out, during the course of a routine inspection of the firefighting equipment in the hospital, they discovered that all of the water lines that were to be connected to the firefighting equipment were all disconnected. And people began to point fingers at one another. An investigation ensued. It was determined that 35 years ago, when the hospital was constructed, somehow, someone forgot to connect the water lines from the firefighting equipment to the main city water line. And when they discovered what had happened, obviously they quickly corrected the problem, and then all breathed a collective sigh of relief that in the 35 years at the hospital, there had not been a fire. They were not placed in a position where they discovered that their equipment didn't work. And I remember reading that story and thinking to myself, well, you go into a public place and you just assume that everything works, don't you, Vince? You assume that everything is connected, everything's in good shape. But how many times might it be that in the places where we go, things aren't always as connected as they should be? How many times do we cross paths with people, I wonder, who really aren't as connected as they should be with the source of the provisions that every one of us yearns for? I wonder sometimes how many people live their lives in disconnected fashion. Do you ever wonder about that? If we're honest with ourselves, we have to acknowledge that on occasion, the only people that we ever pause to worry about are ourselves. Because, well, life is so demanding and things get in the way, and we know how easy it is to be disconnected from what really makes a difference in life. We have so many things that are pressing upon us. Yes, we might give some thought to our own need to be connected to the source of power that makes life worth living. But as far as other people, I'm not so sure. Some have called that compassion fatigue. Have you ever heard that term? Well, even if you haven't heard the term before, the chances are good that maybe you've experienced that in your own life. Just so much stuff going on. So many plates that you have to spin, so many demands that you have to shoulder. You just don't have much time or energy to give of yourself to anyone else. It's not that you really lack concern for others. It's just that you've got so much going on in your own life. You don't have anything left to give. And that's the condition to which Matthew is speaking with this miracle story that we have before us this morning. This story of the feeding of the 5,000. Did you know that this miracle story, the feeding of the 5,000, is the only miracle that Jesus performed that is recorded in all four Gospels? Which tells us that it was very important to the early church as they were gathering the various accounts of the Jesus story. This one about his feeding the 5,000. A very, very important story because of how it reminded the church that Jesus is a compassionate Savior, that He exudes grace to all who are in need. His grace is sufficient and more for every need. And He uses us, His people, to be able to help others find their connection to the source of life, to the means by which we experience life in all of its abundance. What's important about the feeding of the 5,000, the story of that miracle that Jesus performed, is how it follows on the heels of a very disconcerting set of circumstances. In three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the story of the feeding of the 5,000 comes immediately after the execution of John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist, who appeared in the desert preaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven, calling people to repent, baptism being a sign of their repentance, Jesus submitting himself to the baptism of John in order, as Jesus explained, to fulfill all righteousness, to do the right thing, to set an example. Herod, angry at John's denunciation of decisions that he made regarding his brother's wife, had John executed, beheaded. And immediately thereafter, Matthew tells us that when Jesus heard of this, the execution of John, Jesus was so distraught, so perplexed, so uncertain about how God was at work in such a dastardly deed that the Bible says that Jesus removed himself from the crowds and went to a lonely place, a remote place, in order to process how God's purposes might be served in such a heinous act as that. And then Matthew tells us that having heard of this, similarity is more than striking, it's intentional, there's a direct connection, that when the people heard that John had been executed, they went looking for Jesus because they had no other place to turn. They turned to Jesus. And when Jesus landed in that remote place and saw that the crowds had followed him there, the Bible tells us that Jesus did what? He had compassion on the multitudes. A very, very important word in this text. Jesus had heart for the people. More than pity, the word that Matthew uses to describe the deep emotion that Jesus felt for the crowd is more than just a level of sorrow for their plight. It speaks more to a gut-wrenching pain that Jesus felt. He identified the people in their despair. He sided with them. He cared for them. And for that reason, what does the Bible say? Because of the compassion that Jesus had for these people, because he felt their gut-wrenching pain, he began to heal their sick. And the word that Matthew uses for the sickness that the people were experiencing goes far beyond physical illness. It speaks to the emotional sickness that the people felt, which, as you know from your own experience, at times can be the worst type of illness. Jesus healed their sick. And for me, this is where the story gets interesting. The disciples appear, and in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Matthew, the disciples don't always seem to be where Jesus is. They understand that it's getting late in the day. Obviously, the ministry that Jesus performed for the people was not a quick fix type of ministry. It was one that required Jesus to give of himself late into the day, as the disciples saw that evening was approaching. What do they say to Jesus? You can't miss the contrast. Master, the hour is late. Send the people away so that they can go into the villages in order to buy food. Send them away. And how does Jesus respond? We're getting now to the heart of the story. Pun intended, you don't need to send them away, Jesus says. You don't need to send them away. You give them something to eat. You don't need to send them away. You give them something to eat. And when the disciples protest, we don't have nearly enough food to provide for so great a crowd. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. What difference can that make in the face of such a great need as the one with which we are confronted? And what does Jesus say? Bring them to me. bring them to me. The disciples have failed to understand that the greatest resource is there for them to connect with. But because their focus is on their scarcity instead of the abundance of Jesus, they fail to understand what might be possible if they offered what they perceived to be the little that they had, if they offered it to Jesus. They failed to see what Jesus might do. We're not much different from the disciples, are we? We think about the needs that exist all around us and how quickly we find ways to come up with all manner of excuses to get out of extending the help, the mercy, the grace that Jesus calls us to extend. Well, you know, I only have so much time. I'm a busy person. I've got a lot on my plate. You ought to see my to-do list. In fact, right now, I know I should not be doing this, but right now, in the middle of worship, I cannot help but see my mind wander to all of those things that I have before me in the coming days. I only have so much time. I've only got so much money. I'd love to be able to do more. But in this day, trying to make the ends meet, it's just a real pinch, week in and week out. Honestly wish that I could do more, but I only have so much to give, and I'm supporting so many causes. This is just not a good time for me. I only have so much in terms of financial resources. I'd love to be able to be used of God to work to change lives and see needs met, but I'm just one person and I'm not very talented. I can't sing like these choir members can, and I can't speak. And you know, I'm sort of a reserved person, and so it takes a lot for me to be able to move out of my comfort zone. And well, there's just so many other people who are far more gifted than I am. I wish I could do more, but somehow I just wasn't in the right line when God was passing out gifts. Do you see how we can dress up our excuses in the gussiest of garbs? But at the end of the day, it's nothing more than what the disciples were doing. It's focusing on our perceived scarcity instead of the abundance that Jesus can make possible if only we could take to him the little that we have. I see this text. I see this story as a dare. You remember as a child playing the game of I dare you, I dare you. I see this as a dare. It's not a game. It's an effort on Jesus' part to invite us to move to a deeper level of faith, to offer to him the little that we have, believing that with Jesus, the little that we have is always more than enough with Jesus. So you think you don't have time. You've got all of these demands and these responsibilities. Well, bring the time that you have to me. So you're in a pinch. You're in a financial bind right now. And maybe later you think you'd be in a better place. But right now, right now, I'm asking you to bring what you can give to me. You think you're not a talented person, that there are people around you who are far more qualified. But what you have and who you are, come to me and let me see, Jesus is saying. Let me see what I can do with the little that you make possible. I think that's why the church made sure that this story got recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In every one of the gospel stories, I believe it was the Spirit's way of saying to the church, never miss this principle of faith. The little that you have in concert with Jesus, once you relinquish it to Him, is always more than enough. Because look what happens in the story. You know it. They take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus. And he receives it, and he blesses it, gives thanks for it, he breaks it. He gives it to his disciples, and they began to distribute it to the crowd. And at the end of the day, what does Matthew tell us? What does Mark tell us? What does Luke tell us? What does John tell us? All of the people ate. 5,000, not counting the women and the children. Matthew was written to a Jewish audience. It was an important part of the story for Matthew to say that we're not even considering the women and the children. Just the 5,000 men were fed. And more beyond that, what Jesus makes possible with the little that we have is always more than enough. If we would but offer what we have to Him, if we would ourselves take the time and make the effort and commit ourselves in faith to being connected to Jesus, who is the source of grace that is sufficient for every need, there is no end to what God's people can do. I understand that in Lower Manhattan, at the new 9/11 memorial, which has been constructed in the place where those twin towers once stood. Many of you have seen the memorial. I've not seen it. I've read about it. This towering waterfall that descends into 2 separate pools where the towers once stood. The water comes cascading down into those pools whose bottoms cannot be seen. Never ending water upon water. Many interpretations have been given to that memorial. But the one that makes the most sense to me is how that memorial reminds us that regardless of the despair and the pain that people encounter in the course of life, regardless of the heartache and the tragedy that comes upon us in the course of everyday existence, when the props are knocked out from under us and suddenly we feel that we're not connected to anything or anyone, there is grace. There is grace from on high that continues to pour out. Inexhaustible grace that reaches us in the point of our deepest need, in places that we cannot even identify in terms of their darkness. There is this grace that wells up and satisfies. All around us are people who are disconnected from that source of grace. Perhaps even in this place, there is some soul who even this morning feels helpless and all alone. But you're not. None of us has to be. And no one in this world needs to be. Because as followers of Jesus, we hear His command, bring what you have to me. Bring yourself. Bring yourself. And then bring your time. Bring your treasure. Bring your talent. And let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. This story tells us what happens. When people bring themselves to Jesus, everything they are and everything that they have, the day will come when every need will be met. Every soul will be healed. Every life will be made whole. By the grace that is ever sufficient, that feels our deepest pain, draws near to us in that hour, and satisfies our every need. Now that's a connection that none of us can afford to be without.